Good morning, everyone.
Raise my thinking, raise my views, seated together with you, Lord. Raise my thinking, raise my views, seated together with you, Lord. You, Lord, the great creator, one God and mediator, defending on my behalf, interceding at God's right hand. I'll be free from fear and worry, not anxious or in a hurry, when I set my mind on the things above, focused on your grace and love. Raise my thinking, raise my views, seated together with you, Lord. Raise my thinking, raise my views, seated together with you, Lord. You, Lord, the great creator, one God, a mediator, defending on my behalf, interceding at God's right hand. I'll be free from fear and worry, not anxious or in a hurry, when I set my mind on the things above, focused on your grace and love. Faith and hope and love.
Man, can you dance to that one? Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who came out this morning for the express purpose of taking in the life-giving, life-changing Word of God. So amazing. Father, you're not done with any of us yet. You're still moving mightily behind the scenes, between the lines, even above the consciousness, working in our lives according to your great plan, purpose, and will, for your good pleasure, making godly men and women out of us, those who are devoted to your glory by pure grace, as you will and work inside of us according to that good purpose and pleasure. We just thank you for these things. Bless the word of God as it goes forth. Father, show us how you wonderfully proclaimed Jesus Christ throughout the world, in every place under the heavens, and even by the proclamation of creation. As the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament, the works of your hands. Day unto day they utter speech. Night unto night they purvey wisdom. We just thank you for all of these things, the many ways that you've communicated with mankind. By the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, by the Son of God, you've spoken to us by Him in these last days. In Hebrews 1:3, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Proclaimed among the nations, here we go, ready everybody? By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, here's today's, proclaimed among the Gentiles or the nations, believed on in the world, taken up into glory. Kai homologemonos mega esten tu teshu sabaios musterion. Repeat that. No. We got it. Sunday, July 5th, 2020, proclaimed among the nations today in taking this very important verse apart. Here we have a karuthe. Try to say that one. A karuxthe. A karuxthe. From keruso, which means to herald or to proclaim. Also means to preach. As a preacher, to make proclamation, even as Jesus did, to the spirits in prison when he went into the lower regions of the earth and proclaimed his finished work victory to the fallen ones who sinned in the days of Noah, and then finished his work under the earth and taking captivity captive and putting demonic spirits on notice and peeling them off as he ascended through the atmosphere back to the Father. That is rendering a complete victory over Satan and his minions, his forces. Not minions like those little yellow guys. You know who I mean? Okay. I'm not sure that you're up to date, you know, but things are going on in today's culture. Yes, you are. Of course you are. So, a karuxthe. N. Ethnason, where we get the word ethnic. Ethnic, ethnason, ethnic, ethnic peoples. That's all the word Gentile means, is nations other than Israel. The nations other than the nation of Israel. And they're just the nations of the world. And Abraham was said to be, and the Lord said, you will be a blessing to all nations. And Jacob, as Israel said when he blessed the sons of Joseph, making the first, making the last, the second one, the younger one, more blessed than the first, Ephraim and Manasseh, he said, he shall be a multitude of nations. A multitude of nations, or a nation of many nationalities. And that brings us to the only nation that can say that, the good old USA. Used to be good old USA. I'm not so sure it's that good anymore. The old things have all seemed to be put aside. And now there's a new definition for everything. And I don't like it. But God knows, and he's in control. So we just have to let him take care of things and trust him implicitly. So, here we have Ekaruchte and Ethnason. That is preached to the nations. What was preached to the nations? The story of Christ. Christ himself. The Apostle Paul said, we preach Christ. That's what we preach. We don't preach about Christ. We preach Christ. Warning every man and teaching every man that we might present every man complete in Christ. They would say that everyone would see that living is Christ. Living is Christ. And dying is profit. We don't need to be afraid to die because it doesn't hurt. But the victory of death, the sting of death, has been removed. The stinger has been removed from death. And we can look forward to a wonderful, eternal, high-quality experience of life in the presence of Jesus Christ forever. Some of us might be there before we know it, although I'm praying that we all go up at the same time. Which would be fun, wouldn't it? That would be fun. And it won't matter anyway. We'll all get there. It would be like we all got there at the same time. Anyway, so this message, the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, was caused to travel throughout the nations of the world. Every nation on earth has heard about Christ. Every person on earth has heard about Christ. There aren't any that haven't. He said, are you sure about that? Yeah, positive. God had to do that. They look up at the sky and they see the heavens and they look on the earth and they see creation. They see the macrocosm and the microcosm and they say there has to be one God. What's his name? And what is his son's name? As the writer of Proverbs in Proverbs 30 says, what is his name? What is his son's name? Oh, Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The same person, one and the same. You know, there's only one God. That's part of the mystery, part and parcel of the mystery. Who's Jesus? He's God, who put on flesh. He was the Word from all eternity that put on flesh and pitched his tent of skin, skinao, among us, full of grace and truth. He brought the message of God in person, as God and man. The one mediator, right, Vicki? That's what she sang about this morning. Did you catch that? The mediator? The mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. So, this is the godliness mystery. What was the godliness mystery? Mega Eston. Great it is. Or magnifique. Susie told me it's not magnifique, it's magnifique because that is French. You don't pronounce the G. The mystery is magnifique. Magnificent is the mystery. Not it's a great secret that nobody knows. It means it's magnificent, the secret. And it says, homologemonos, which means anybody who knows anything about it says the same thing. They say it's magnifique, magnificent, the mystery of Christ, that is who he is, and the body of Christ, who you are and who I am, because Christ lives in us. Christ in you. The hope, the anticipation, expectation of your soon or sudden glorification in Colossians 1:26-27. So, it is great. Preached throughout the ethnation, the nations of the world. Shouted from the housetops, those who find it and find him, although he's not lost, those he finds, he's came to seeking to save those who are lost. In Luke 19:10, he came to seeking to save those who are lost. And those he finds shouted from the housetops. These glad tidings of salvation, like the second chapter of Acts in their song. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that Christ is risen from the dead. And so are you in Christ. How wondrous, how marvelous, how glorious. The grand privilege that is ours to know him and to know the story, to have it and to proclaim it to others. To know him, to have him, and to proclaim him to others. How it spreads and how it reaches every ear is a secret told, a mystery. Unfolded throughout the centuries, throughout the world. God made sure everybody heard it, and hears it today. God revealed in the flesh, crucified, dead, and was buried, having risen with undeniable proof and having appeared at least 17 times over a 40-day period before his ascension to his disciples and to as many as 500 people at once, so it can't be denied. They all swore by affidavit that it was true, as Luke interviewed each one of them, or as many as he found, many of whom, Paul says, are still alive to this day when he wrote that scripture. So, Christ preached in many cities, in every synagogue in many cities, in the highest realms of government, and with great impact, to Felix, to Festus, to Drusilla, to Bernice, soldiers, commanders, to the Praetorian Guard of Caesar, and to Caesar himself. From there spread throughout the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, America. The whole world has heard and received the testimony of the glorious proclamation. The victorious proclamation of it is finished. It's finished. What is? Everything, and more so than you can ever possibly conceive of or imagine. It is finished. It's finished. God sees the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. Jesus is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Everything's already done. Isn't that wonderful? You say, it doesn't seem like it to me. Who cares what it seems like to you? It's the truth. It's the Word. God can't lie. God, who cannot lie, promised us eternal life long ages ago, Titus 1:2. He can't lie. It won't, for any reason. How wonderful is that? So we can rely on Him 150, 75, 200, 1,000, 1 million percent. There's no such thing as a million percent. There's only 100%. 100%. People will say 150%. No. There's no such thing. 150%. That's called an exaggeration, I guess. Or what's the proper literary term? Hyperbole. Thank you very much. Usually it's harder to get an answer out of somebody than that. Was that you, Chris? Who said that? Megan. Oh, that's right. She's a writer. She knows about hyperbole. I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Hyperbole. No, I'm kidding. So anyway, the victorious proclamation of it is finished. Finished, accomplished. Done, fulfilled, satisfied, consummated, concluded, achieved, paid up, paid off, paid in full. That's what it means. That's the dramatic perfect tense of teleos. And it is the Word Jesus cried from the cross, and quoting Psalm 22:31. He will proclaim to a nation, to a people yet to be born, that it is finished. Asa in the Hebrew. Tetelestai in the Greek. The righteousness of the law fulfilled. The penalty for breaking it finished. Paid in full. Nothing left to do, nothing more to prove. All that God required of man was done by Christ on behalf of all men. No difference between Jews and any other nationality. The ethnation and all others, rather, proclaimed all, that all might lay claim by faith to the grace of God that brings salvation to all men. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God which brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, those who have believed, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, waiting for, looking for, the blessed hope of the church, the soon appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the next thing to happen on the prophetic calendar. Christ is going to come to the point of the sky and call us up. He'll say, get up here! And we'll go up there to be forever with Him. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 and 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. 52:55. So, the victorious proclamation. No difference between Jews and Gentiles. None whatsoever. Rather, proclaimed all, that all may lay claim by faith to the grace of God that brings salvation. In Hebrews 10, you can turn there. Hebrews 10, we'll see how this works. To remind you of how it works. As a pastor, I'm supposed to devote myself to the public reading of Scripture, so it's a rather lengthy passage, but you can handle it. When you come to church, you have to depend on God for concentration, patient concentration, and put everything else out of your mind so that you can make the most of the Bible teaching circumstances and the provision of God in the local assembly. Here we go. Romans 10:1. Brothers, Paul speaking under inspiration. My heart's desire and my prayer to God for them, that is his Jewish brethren, is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but the problem is, it's not in accordance with knowledge. And he says, for not knowing about God's righteousness, they seek to establish their own righteousness. God's righteousness comes as a gift by faith in Jesus Christ. The moment you believe in Christ, you're justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. No one's saved by race. All are saved by grace and through faith in Christ. Not knowing about God's righteousness, they seek to establish their own. Since they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God through faith in Christ, for Christ is the end of the law. This is a great verse, one everybody should know very well. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That is Romans 10:4. That is the big 10:4. Over and out. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes in him. For the free and irrevocable gift of eternal life. For Moses writes, he's the one who wrote the law, that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law, that's the kind of Jews went after and didn't find it, shall live by that righteousness. In other words, you better do it all. If you're going to live by that standard, you better do it all. You live by the law, you better keep the law. And nobody has, except for one, Christ. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Because that's what you would have to do. You have to go there on your own merits. And you can't. That is to bring Christ down. Do what God has already done. You can't do that. It's impossible. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. After he died and went into the lower regions of the earth and proclaimed his finished work victory to the spirits in prison. You can't bring him up. God did it. But what does it say? The word is near you. Where is it? It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. What is the word of faith? Anybody know? What is it? That's it. The word is I believe. That's all he requires. When he hears that, you get his attention. When he hears I believe, he never misses one expression of faith, ever. I believe. And when you believe in Christ, what happens? You get the gift of righteousness. The free and irrevocable gift of eternal righteousness. And you're okay with God. You're all right with God from that moment forward. Isn't that wonderful? That's good news. That's the news that's been proclaimed in all of creation. Every place under heaven. I'm more excited about it now than ever. Take me home, country road, to the place where I belong. Not to West Virginia, as my son, or where's Carl today? Oh, I can talk about, oh, he's here. Sorry, Carl. My son lives in West Virginia now, too, you know. Certain parts of it are wonderful. The part where you live, and the part, not with the part where he lives. In part. It's good in part. Just like Western Pennsylvania. Anyway. Sorry about that. He says, it's in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith, I believe. That we are preaching, keruso, a keruste, that we are proclaiming. That is the word, actually. Then he says that if you, homologemonos, homologeo, if you confess, all of these things tie together perfectly and beautifully, you'll have to find the connections. I can't give them all to you. You have to read it, read it, read it, and then it'll connect. If you confess with your mouth, to who? to God, not to men. What's that have to do with anything? People always say, you have to confess to men that you believe in Christ. Well, you will do that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's saying in your heart, the mouth of your heart to the ear of God. That's what you do. That's the confession. From the mouth of your heart has a mouth. And you say in your heart to God, I believe in Christ. If you confess with your mouth, what do you have to confess? Jesus is God. It's the mystery. It says Jesus is Lord. What's Lord mean? Kyrios. God. Yahweh. In the Old Testament, Lord is Yahweh. In the New Testament, it's Kyrios. It's one and the same. That Jesus is God. You have to believe Jesus is God. And that God died on the cross for you. God shed his blood. The blood of God. The church which was purchased by his blood. His shed blood on the cross. You know, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, not imputing men's sins to them. He was imputing their sins to Christ and judging Christ for their sins, blaming their sins on Christ and judging Christ for their sins. How wonderful is that? So you and I go free. I'm not going to get through this today. I'm really excited about it. I'm so glad we had church. I'm glad I changed my mind, Brad, and we had church today. It'll serve us well, even if some of us get the virus, which I don't think is going to happen. Unless you sit too close, like Dan and Judy, and I'm spitting on them, and I have it. I hope that doesn't happen. And if it does, so what? We'll get there somehow, some way, someday. He says, if you believe in your heart, oh, here we go, the word of faith that we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is God, is Lord, and believe in your heart, where only God sees, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7, or 17:6, one of the two. And it says, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Jesus had to rise from the dead. You have to believe God raised him from the dead. Then what will happen? You'll be saved. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is God, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is God and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Anything else required? Nothing else is required. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. The moment you believe, God declares you righteous. With the very righteousness of Christ, with his very own righteousness, he declares you righteous. For he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. There it is. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, homologeo, resulting in salvation. He says to God, I'm believing in Christ, which results immediately, instantaneously, in salvation that can never be forfeited, that can never be lost. You're saved, safe, and eternally secure from the moment you say, I do, to Christ, till the day that you die and appear in heaven in glory. For there is no distinction. Oh, excuse me, go back. Verse 11. For the Scripture says, truly, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Wow! Isn't that great? That means for time or for eternity, you'll never be disappointed. Every decision of faith that you make will leave you without disappointment. Strengthened in some way, helped in some way, healed in some way, saved in some marvelous way. You'll never be disappointed. For there is no difference between Jews and non-Jews, between the ethnos, the nations, and the Jews. There's no difference. Never was. Never will be. No one's saved by race, only by grace. You say, well, they were God's special people. They had special privilege, that's for sure. And they were supposed to evangelize the world and proclaim His name throughout creation, and they didn't do it to the nations. Instead, they thought they were better than other people and kept to themselves, cloistered themselves, and entered into arrogance of their own ethnic group and elitism, ethnic elitism. And it wasn't ever meant to be that way. Shame on them. So, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all. There's only one. He's the Lord of all. Abounding in riches for all who call on Him with their mouth, the mouth of their heart. Believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you know that? Whoever will call on the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus, will be saved. The one who died on the cross, was buried in the earth for 3 days, and rose from the dead, victorious, proclaimed His finished work victory to the spirits in prison, ascended through the atmosphere back into the presence of the Father, and took His rightful place upon the throne of the universe. The place He left to save us, to come and save us. And He's coming again to save us from this evil world. Then it says this in verse 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a keruso, a preacher? How will they keruso preach unless they are sent? Just as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Well, I have beautiful feet, but you don't want to look at them up close. They're old and gnarled with fungal toenails, a yellow, deep yellow cast, and bruises, wounds, and putrefying sores. No, not that bad. But how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of good things like eternal salvation and complete restoration. Wonderful things that Jesus Christ has given and promised both for time and eternity. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So faith comes by hearing. Did you know that? People think faith comes by seeing. Seeing is believing. No, it isn't. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, the Word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing. The more you hear, the more you believe. The more you believe, the more you receive, the more you believe. It comes, it produces, the Word produces faith all by itself. But you have to hear it. That's why the only thing God's given us to do, and Jesus proclaimed it when He was at Mary and Martha's house, is to sit and receive the Word of God. That's all He requires. To gather together, to sit and receive the Word of God. To sit under a goofball and let Him rant and rave about the Word of God, to proclaim it. to shout it. Even say, you don't have to talk so loud. We can hear you. I just get excited. I'm sorry. It's a good thing to be excited about the grace of God. I'm not condemning you by hollering. I'm proclaiming the good news. It's my great privilege and pleasure to do so. So he says, but I say, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Christ is the author of all Scripture. The Scripture is called the mind or the thinking of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he should counsel him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Indeed we do. So he says, but I say surely they have never heard, have they? Oh, indeed they have. I beg to differ. You said they, not everybody's heard. Oh, yes, they have. Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. That was God's doing, God's business. And he did it. And he's done it. There's nobody hasn't heard. But I say surely, nobody will say, God, I never heard. I never knew. Yes, you did. Here's when it occurred. Not once. But this time. And then you looked up and you had that thought. I put that thought in your heart. But you didn't respond. You never followed up. You didn't want to know. If you wanted to know, I'd have shown you. I'd have told you. I'd have come to you. But you didn't want it. He doesn't make you do anything you don't want to do. He's a gentleman. He could put all the pressure in the world on you. You wouldn't come to him any sooner. Or be any more inclined to do so. You'd say, he's pushing me. Stop pushing me. Like we do with others. So he says, there are words to the ends of the earth, but I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, I will make you jealous. That is Israel. By that which is not a nation. As people believe all over the world through the proclamation of the gospel by Paul and the others and you to this down to this day. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold, says, I was found by those who did not seek me. True. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. Took us by surprise. But as for Israel, he says, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient, obstinate people. So there, that's our passage from Romans 10. Though it was a secret, now it's not. Hasn't been kept secret. Never actually was, but few people understood it. To any degree at all, even the gospel from the Old Testament. It was for us, to whom the end of the ages has come. This so great salvation. So great is the spread of the good news that has reached every place under heaven. God's released and the heretofore mystery doctrine to the church. From Paul to the apostles, the other apostles, to pastor teachers, to deacons, and to all believers. It's designed to be and has been pandemic. And should continue to be so, especially in difficult times, perilous times. And will be when man's every attempt to save himself fails. Because he can't do it. He can't reform, and he certainly can't transform himself, or even reinvent himself. He's still him. And still has the incurable wound. 1 Timothy 3:8, deacons. Was there any deacons here? I see three of them. That's all we have in this church. That's all we need. Well, we probably don't even need three. Don't need me. We need the Lord. Three deacons. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity. Boy, do you guys fulfill that one well, huh? Not double-tongued. I don't think that fits any of us, any of you. Or addicted to much wine. I don't think that does either. I'm not sure, but I don't think so. Better not let me find out. We're fond of sordid gain. Money mongers. What a generous group of people, and the deacons in particular, leading the charge. But holding the mystery of the faith, who Christ is and who the body of Christ is, and serving the body, serving Christ and the body of Christ with a supernatural gift and ability. The ability to pray and to see the results. That's one of the things. Did you hear that? So he's knocking on the door. It's one of the pigeons knocking on the door. What's it? Stay out. So, that's the deacons holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. That'll give you a clear, clean conscience. To congregations, going from deacon, from apostles to pastors to deacons, to congregations of believers who want to learn, who want to know, who want to run and win in the end. The proclamation is to the ethnos, the nations of the world, proclaimed by Christ to the spirits in prison, to the fallen angels who left their first domain or estate, to put on humanoid bodies, to infiltrate, to distort, to destroy the human race in the days of Noah, and afterwards on a smaller scale in Genesis chapter 6. You say, where'd you get that? From the Bible. Genesis 6. And then God, after flooding the earth and destroying the mutant race created by angels and men, sending the rainbow to confirm the covenant of salvation in the ark, sealed with pitch, the blood of a tree, through eight persons kept pure in their generations, not infiltrated by angelic seed, to the future nations of the world, whose only hope is found in the salvation of God our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the visible spectrum of divine light. He's the rainbow. God is light. Jesus is God, the visible spectrum of light. 1 John 1:5. We are proclaiming Him today and every time we're open here by taking our Bibles, each one of us, and with great anticipation toward God our Savior, going to church to learn of, from, and all about Jesus Christ. Making a bold statement each time we do to men and angels. Where are you going this morning? To church. Would you like to come? Oh, no. I don't want to do that. I might have to understand something and believe something. Don't want to do that. I stay as far away from God as I possibly can. Yes, we know. Making a bold statement of men and angels who believe in Christ, even the fallen angels do, and to humans and demons that do not. Give him his due. The proclamation of emancipation from every yoke of slavery. The only thing that holds men back from glorious liberty that sponsors great progress and confidence is, listen to this, a slave identity and a slave mentality. That's the only thing that makes slaves of men, because no one is a slave. Don't you know? Galatians 5:1. Here's your answer. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery, set free by our liberator, Jesus Christ. Though you were chained to a dank wall in a dark prison, waiting to be sold or executed, Christ came to you, broke the chains, and guided you to the light of day, and took you to a place of privilege and opportunity wherein He would provide everything that we would need to succeed. But we forgot and thought we had to fight for what was already ours, that was paid for at the cross. Every believer is a victor even as Christ is the supreme hero and victor, who arose victorious from the dark domain of death and brought us to life with him, in him, to share with us all that is his. He wants to share all of it with us. We just have to let her allow it to. So why then the long face? That's what you say to a horse. Why the long face? Horse face. Why the long face? Why the profession of defeat? The victim mentality of slavery. The need to hoot and loot. To buck the system of law and order established by God for the protection of society from criminal elements, gypsies, tramps, and thieves who take what is not theirs and who wrongly think they're entitled to more than God has given them, which they have not even begun to tap. They don't even know what's theirs in potential. Guess what we need, all of us, and those who fall, those who this describes. A good shaking, a rude awakening, is all they need. For some, the message is, turn, quick, turn. For some, it is, return, because they left the Father's house. And for the others, for all the rest who have believed, it is, remain. Turn, return, or remain. It's abide, remain, or continue. The stakes are very high and the cost is great for those who do not turn or return or remain. Everyone has heard the call to believe in Christ. God has called, sent his communicators into every nation and into every generation in order that as many people as possible might hear and respond by faith to the grace of eternal life and the mystery of godliness, which is the spiritual life of Jesus, a supernatural life of motivation and power in a love relationship with our Creator and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Not by power, your power, not by might, not by your ability, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. In Zechariah 4:6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the governor rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain, whatever obstacle you face? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone, I have to show, with shouts of grace, grace, to it. I don't want to hurt your ears. Grace, grace. Entirely by grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Caruso, in our passage, in Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a caruso preacher? The preaching of Jesus Christ, Paul calls it, according to the revelation of the mystery, in Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the kerugma, it's the same word, just a different form, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past. You know, the gospel, the story of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, is the power of God resulting in salvation to everyone who believes it. Did you know that? For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it stands written, the just shall live eternally by faith alone in Christ alone. The power is in the message. The power is in the person whose story it is. He is our salvation, our redemption, our righteousness, and our acceptance in 1 Corinthians 1:30. But by God's doing, you're in Christ Jesus, who became unto us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's all of that and more. The mystery includes the gospel, which is the proclamation of the death of Christ as our surrogate substitute and the satisfaction of justice for sins resulting in the free gift of righteousness through faith in the person of Christ as God and Savior. You must recognize who He is, according to the revelation of the mystery, according to Paul's gospel, and if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in him as God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, having believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, vindicated in the Spirit, you shall be saved, viewed at every juncture by angels, as heavenly witnesses, who are now learning of the manifold wisdom of God through the church, in Ephesians 3:10. That is, all about him through his interaction, mystery interaction with you. 1 Corinthians 4:9, for I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all, Paul says, as men condemned to death because we have become a theatron, a theater, a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Thank God Christ was preached to us, proclaimed by someone, made real and urgent by the Spirit who persuaded us of our need to believe in him as God and our Savior in John 16:8. The Spirit did it. And he, when he comes, Jesus said, the Spirit will convince the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness because I go to my Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has already been judged. It's a defeated foe, Satan is. So each one now who lays claim to Christ will proclaim him in life, both in word and deed, apodeisis, which is demonstration by the Spirit's power, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All who believe will be continually drawn, and though they may strive and try to get away, they'll never break free from the love and grace of Jesus Christ. You know that, right? Love never fails, first of all, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Judy read that this morning, she said. Unless she's lying. And nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:39. No, you can't get away. In Hebrews 13:5, he says, I will never, no, never leave you, nor desert you. Psalm 139:5, he says, you have enclosed me behind and before. In other words, I'm enveloped. You enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. Ever made your bed in hell? If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. You can't get away. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are all the same to you. So you can't get away, says stop trying. If you don't stop trying to get away, you may face some very painful conditions, but you will still be kept by the power of God. You can't get away. In 1 Peter 1:5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The day is coming when we will see him and be like him. When we see him as he is in 1 John 3:3. And in the meantime, as he is, so are you. So are we in this world in 1 John 4:17. Each of us a proclamation to the nations of Jesus Christ. What's true of him is true of us. In 2 Corinthians 3:3, being manifested, you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tables of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. His thoughts and his words in our hearts, on our lips, proclaim our Lord and his salvation to one and all. Albeit poorly, inadequately, or very well, as the case may be. Nevertheless, the name is proclaimed that some will consider his person, his work, or his word. They will read you and see or hear something about Christ, something that recommends him to them, to others. You probably won't know it, but can be assured that it is so by the greatness of the one who's living in you, who is manifest despite you, despite your slips, your trips, and your falls. Slips of the tongue, trips and falls, as we often stumble and fumble in life, as James tells us in 3:2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So, what's the conclusion? His story is your story. The day he was born was for you, so that you could be born anew. The life he lived each day was the life of faith, hope, and love that he pioneered, proved, and passed to you for you to live. The persecution is identification. Any persecution you endure is identification with him and camaraderie, friendship with Jesus Christ, your Savior. His death was for you. The day he died on the cross for your freedom, like July 4th, 4th of July, that was yesterday, from sins and death and the gift of eternal life. Not on the 4th of July, but on the 4th of April, 30 AD, which is widely accepted as the day that Christ died on the cross. And so impressed was I by this that I wrote a poem. And here it is. We'll finish with this. It's called The 4th of April, 30 AD. This day we call, yesterday, the 4th of July, the day of independence, a celebration in the sky for us and our descendants. Harkens to a greater day, the 4th of April long ago. Freedom had a price to pay, a greater cost than we can know. No fireworks up in the sky. Dark was that day from noon to three. Out from the darkness came freedom's cry on the 4th of April, 30 A.D. Our freedom from sin and death he provided. Becoming a curse, he was hung on a tree, leaving history divided on April the 4th, 30 A.D. Have you seen what happened there? Do you know the one who paid? Have you heard and do you care? No fireworks, no grand parade. The celebration in the sky, the grand parade we go to see, freedom rings each 4th of July. He paid the price at Calvary on the 4th of April, 30 A.D. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Beautiful truth contained in your word. The beautiful truth that is personified in the person of Christ, the living Word of God. Thank you for these things. May it touch us very deeply and change our hearts and change our minds and change the direction of our lives if it is necessary, as you do it in us. Help those who have serious problems, addiction problems, and problems with so many things, problems of our own creation, devices, that we would let them go and just allow you, let her allow you to help us, to heal us, to save us from ourselves and our bad decisions. Father, those who are ill, please, Father, put your healing touch, Lord Jesus, upon their lives. Keep us around as long as we need to be so that we can really bring glory to your name by being devoted to grace, receiving all that you've given us to be a trophy of your grace for the praise, honor, and glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. We also pray for the offering today, Father, that you would bless it. Use it for your purpose to help many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, by the way, Brad's going to pass you a slip because we want to try to update our files because I don't get to contact everybody through the email addresses or the phone numbers that I have. So we want to make sure that we're up to date. If you don't mind, give us all the information, including your Social Security number and bank account numbers.
If we could all stand.